This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Foundations, a weekly program brought to you by the Reformed Church of Christchurch. Hello, I'm Esther Smith. For most people, receiving the news that they are having a baby is wonderful and exciting, a joyous occasion. There can be a certain amount of trepidation involved, especially for a first baby. Most people find out the news after taking a medical test. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of a very special baby. His mother was not told by medical test, though, or by the passage of time, but by an angel. What would you say if that happened to you? We'll be considering Mary's response to this incredible news later in the program, but first here's A Baby Will Come, sung by Emily Cook.
The kings of this world have torn it apart, but we can take heart. A baby will come to the hungry and meek, to those who grieve, to the broken and known pain. We felt distinct. God help us believe this baby will come. The baby has come.
You're listening to Foundations on Plains FM 96.9.
It was important that Jesus, the Son of God, was born holy and of a woman. Why is this, and what was Mary's response to the news? He is able to tell us.
I'm going to start by reading again from the Bible, from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Here we read of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary to announce the coming of Jesus into the world. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Last week, we considered the angel Gabriel's words to Mary. He told her that Jesus would be conceived through a divine miracle by the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. Then Gabriel continues, "So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Jesus would be holy. This word means set apart and pure. Jesus was born of Mary, who had a sinful human nature, but the Holy Spirit kept Jesus from inheriting that sin. We are conceived and born to sin, but Jesus was without sin. He was perfect, pure and blameless. He had to be holy so that he could make the perfect sacrifice for sin. He is holy and would be called the Son of God. Jesus did not become the Son of God when he was born into the world. He was always God's Son from all eternity. Rather, he added to his divine nature a human nature and was born into this world as a man. As we have noted, many have found this a hard truth to believe. Many have not accepted it. They claim that Jesus was the son of Joseph conceived during the engagement. But Matthew tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, Joseph had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. The Bible is clear. He was conceived by the power of God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Then the angel Gabriel confirmed the announcement about Jesus' conception by telling Mary about her cousin Elizabeth. He said, "Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." The angel wanted to help Mary and so reinforced his words to her by pointing to the power of God at work in Elizabeth. Mary had not heard about the pregnancy of her older relative. Communication was limited in those days. No texting, emails or Facebook. And Elizabeth lived down south in Judea and had kept to herself in seclusion for 5 months. Perhaps Gabriel was hinting that Mary should go and see Elizabeth, which she did very soon after this. Then Gabriel adds, "For nothing is impossible with God." He had given a particular promise to Mary about the birth of a son, and he confirms this with a general statement about the character of God. God is almighty, all-powerful. He can do anything. The angel assured Mary, nothing is impossible with God. One writer claims that this is one of the most reassuring statements in all Scripture. We need this reassurance for ourselves. With God, everything is possible. He will always do what He has promised. His grace is sufficient for us. We can do all things through Him who gives us the strength. If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to live day by day and year by year with a thorough conviction of the almighty power of God. We need to believe this as we look ahead to next year. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary then responds to all this with a humble acceptance. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Even in this brief conversation, Mary has probably already thought of many of the potential difficulties and problems she would face. What would Joseph think when he heard that she was pregnant, knowing that it wasn't his baby? He could divorce her, and we'd know that he did consider this possibility. What would her friends and neighbours say in the small town of Nazareth? What gossip and talk would go around about her and Joseph? Despite these concerns, Mary readily accepted God's plan and purpose for her life. In humble obedience, she submitted herself to God's will. She did not ask any more questions or raise any objections. She offered herself to God for Him to use for His purpose and His glory. I am the Lord's servant. Mary is a fine example for us. In another week or so, we will enter a new year. Where God has expressed His will clearly in the Bible, are you willing to obey what He has commanded? Where the path of duty is plain, are you ready to walk in that path? Are you willing to go anywhere and do anything in your service of the Lord? Will you seek to please God and glorify Him in all that you do next year? Can you say, I am the Lord's servant, use me as you choose? God's Son was conceived and born through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, was born to suffer and die for the sins of His people. This Jesus also rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and He will one day come again as the judge of all people. This Christmas, let's give our full attention to Jesus Christ our Lord, born into this world as the Son of God from all eternity, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary.
That was Abel Landers reading edited material written by Reverend John Haviland. Please join us next week when we'll be considering another aspect of the Christian faith and how it relates to life today. Our regular programs are broadcast on Sunday at 10 a.m. or 10:30 p.m. Before then, though, please join us on Christmas Day when we'll be broadcasting a special half-hour Christmas program at 10 a.m. and again at 10:30 p.m. Until then, goodbye from the Foundations team.
You can contact the Foundations team by sending an email to foundationsonplains@gmail.com. Join us for worship on Sunday at the Reformed Church of Christchurch. Our services are at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. at 63 Cornwall Street.